This week on an all-new Daddy on Board podcast, I got stories about a Chinese dad who put a hit out on his own son. The Wall Street Journal will teach you how to discipline your kids and keeping up with the New Guineans, which I'm not sure is a real demonym. All that and a whole lot more awaits you right around the corner on Dob 118. Welcome, parents and people that mistook this for the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, to Daddy on Board, a podcast with a predominantly paternal perspective to it. I am Mike Quackenbush, a parent, podcaster, and professional wrestler, and it is time to make the donuts. When I say that, I want you to know that time to make the donuts is a euphemism for read this week's top stories, and I will do that. I will also, in just a few moments, save you a few bucks and simplify your life when I tell you about some great stuff being offered by our awesome and long-standing show sponsor, Cobra Electronics. Thank you, Cobra. Also, I would like to invite each and every one of you to come and see me at National Pro Wrestling Day, a 20-match supercard being held in Philadelphia on February 2nd, where I will grapple with Colt Cabana, host of the Art of Wrestling podcast. Admission is totally free to this day-long, family-friendly festival, and details about it are over at nationalprowrestlingday.com. But without further ado, let us dive into the news. Is this good news? I don't know. It's not bad news. Well, here's the news, and I'm taking it right from Salon.com. Researchers at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine have found that certain brain patterns in adults with Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, and autism can also be seen in the brain scans of infants. Quote, "These results suggest that prenatal brain development may be a very important influence on psychiatric risk later in life," end quote, said the lead author of the study and assistant professor of psychiatry at UNC, Rebecca Nickmeyer. In addition to early detection, the study may also lead to early intervention breakthroughs in the degenerative brain disorder. Right from UNC's website, quote, "The study included 272 infants who received MRI scans at UNC hospitals shortly after birth. The DNA of each was tested for 10 common variations in 7 genes that have been linked to brain structure in adults. These genes have also been implicated in conditions such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, autism, Alzheimer's disease, anxiety disorders, and depression," end quote. Experts say that Alzheimer's early intervention offers far more than just the obvious health benefits. There are economic and social gains, too. Right now, there are 5.4 million Americans living with the disease, and a majority of them receive a late diagnosis, if they receive any diagnosis at all. And the result is this so-called treatment gap that limits their access to critical information, proper care, and community support. So there you go, that one right from our friends over at Salon.com. Eric Zhu of Kotaku East brought this story about innovative parenting from China all the way to us. Now, gaming addiction is a serious problem, but some solutions like therapy or time away from the computer are better than others. Well, sick and tired of his son playing video games and not listening to him, a father in China decided to take matters into his own hands. Instead of sending his son off to addiction camp or stripping him of internet and gaming rights, Mr. Feng chose to hire an online hitman to school his 23-year-old son, Xiao. Through his years of playing various online games, Xiao supposedly thought himself a master of Chinese online role-playing games. According to his father, Xiao had good grades in school, so they allowed him to play games, but when he couldn't land a job, his parents started looking into things. However, he simply couldn't find any work that he liked, said Xiao. And Feng was annoyed that his son couldn't even tough it out for 3 months at a software development company. So unhappy with his son not finding a job, Feng decided to hire players in his son's favorite online games to hunt him down. According to the Chinese newspaper Sanquing Daily, it is unknown where or how Feng found the in-game assassins. Every one of the players he hired were stronger, higher level than Xiao. Feng's idea was that his son would get bored of playing the games if he was killed every time he logged on, and that he would start putting more effort into getting a job. Despite being sick of getting killed every time, Xiao decided to stand up to his father and tell him how he felt. He was quoted as saying, "I can play or I cannot play. It doesn't bother me. I'm not looking for any job. I want to take some time to find one that suits me." Upon hearing this earnest plea from his son, Feng said that he was relieved. However, it is not known if Feng has called off the in-game assassins, or if Xiao has yet found a job. So, you know, having recently heard all these great things about French parenting techniques, I'm really glad the Chinese are coming out with some ideas of their own. And I kind of like that one. I've still got a few more stories to go, plus I'm going to tell you about great show sponsors Cobra Electronics, and I'll probably read your little victories before it's all said and done. However, before I get to any of that, I want to tell you about this. Have you ever heard of parent management training or parent-child interaction therapy? Yeah, me neither. Until I read a Wall Street Journal piece advising me how to get my kid to behave by using techniques psychologists use on kids that deal with oppositional defiant disorder and ADHD. The general strategy behind it is this. Instead of just focusing on what happens when a child acts out, parents should first decide what behaviors they want to see in their kids. Do they want them to clean their room? Do they want them to get ready for school on time by themselves? Do they want them to play nicely with a sibling, etc.? Then they praise those behaviors when they see them. Quote, "You start praising them, and it increases the frequency of good behavior," says one professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at the Child Study Center at NYU Medical Center in New York. I'm glad I got that out in one breath. "This is tough," says Yale professor Alan Kasdan, "because we have a negativity bias. We pay more attention to when kids misbehave than when they act like angels." Now, Dr. Kasdan recommends at least 3 or 4 instances of praise for good behavior for every timeout a kid should get. For young children, the praise needs to be effusive and include a hug or some other physical affection, he says. According to parent management training, parents must couple this system of praise with the use of mild negative consequences, like a short timeout. Verbal reprimands and negative nonverbal responses, like a stern look or taking away privileges, has led to greater compliance by kids, according to a review article published this month in the journal Clinical Child and Family Psychology Review. What a charming title that is. I wish I was getting that in my mailbox. Clinical Child and Family Psychology Review. While this kind of praise does not seem to affect compliance in the short term, a look at 41 different discipline studies does show that it led to greater compliance in the long run. These techniques are applicable to all ages, but psychologists note that starting early is better, because once a kid hits about 10 or 11, discipline gets a lot harder. Some parents try and reason with very young children, but Dr. Kasdan says this is bound to fail to change a kid's behavior. Reason doesn't change behavior, which is why stop smoking messages don't usually work, he says. Overly harsh punishments also fail. Quote, "One of the side effects of punishment is noncompliance and aggression," end quote. Spanking, in particular, has been linked to aggressive behavior in kids and anger problems. Still, 26% of parents often spank their 19 to 35-month-old children, according to a 2004 study in the journal Pediatrics, which analyzed survey data collected by the federal government. And I'd like to mention, at the conclusion of this piece, that I did not get my spanking survey form 9 years ago from the federal government, as agreed upon. So thank you, Wall Street Journal. I feel far better equipped now to deal with my son. Actually, there are some good ideas in this. I didn't mean for that to be as sarcastic as it usually is, but there are some good ideas in this. I did paraphrase a lot, though. I cut out a lot of crap. It was a really long article. There was a lot of useless information. Okay. Well, then. For just a little while longer, you can save a lot of money on some incredible electronic gizmos made by my pals and great show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Here's how you can find out what's up. Go to Cobra.com. On that left-hand navigation, you're going to see a section called Specials. And going on right now for a limited time in the Specials section, they're offering buy one, get one free on the ingenious two-way locator system, the Cobra tag. You can make sure that your college-bound student never misplaces any of their valuables. They put that Cobra tag right under their laptop bag, their backpack, their keys, whatever you want. And then, because it pars right through their smartphone, they can ring the misplaced item. Or if they're too far out of range, it'll even generate a map to lead you right to where you misplaced that item. They're buy one, get one free for a limited time only. Go over and see everything relating to the Cobra tag. And their other great innovation, the Cobra Eye Radar, has also been reduced in price. In fact, they've got a $60 freebie they're giving away right now for people interested in picking up the Cobra Eye Radar for radar, laser, and safety camera detection. It works with your iPhone or iPod Touch. You can find out more about that over at Cobra.com. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. If you need two-way walkie-talkies, even up to a 20-mile radius radio like that, they are great discounts going on right now, and just for a little while longer, in the specials section at Cobra.com. Get over there, save yourself some bucks, and pick up something cool. I don't want you to write about how nasal I sound this week on the Dob as you are leaving me your super positive 5-star review in iTunes. I've been quite ill, but I still made this podcast for you. And that's what you should write about in that 5-star review you were about to leave for me in iTunes. Not even sinus congestion could stop me from making this podcast for you. I'm a podcasting juggernaut. Write that. Write those exact words. I'm a podcasting juggernaut. I'll wait. The Atlantic reassured parents last week that their kids are going to be just fine. The Atlantic feels this way thanks to Jared Diamond's latest book, entitled The World Until Yesterday, What Can We Learn from Traditional Societies? He describes this experience he had in a society in New Guinea. When I arrived at one particular village, most of the porters from the previous village who had brought me there left, and I sought help from people of any age capable of carrying a pack and wanting to earn money. The youngest person who volunteered was a boy about 10 years old named Euro. He joined me expecting to be away from his village for a couple of days. But Euro remained with me for a month. It was evidently considered normal that a 10-year-old boy would decide by himself to go away for an indeterminate length of time. Now, the author of this book also expresses admiration for the way in which New Guinea children, from some traditional cultures, are encouraged to share. He describes one game in which children are each given a banana, which they cut in half. They eat one half and then pass the other on. This happens numerous times, so that each child is dependent on the fairness of the others. Such activities contrast strongly with American games, which emphasize winning and individual victory. I'd like to point out, while I did read the Atlantic article about this, I did not read the book, and I'm a little baffled by that banana game, because really, once you get two or three kids down the line, the remaining piece of the banana that you're having to give to the next kid is going to be like next to nothing. So clearly, the kid that goes first always wins. He gets the biggest chunk of the banana. That piece really didn't seem to be very well analyzed by The Atlantic. Diamond also argues that if we can't be sure that small-scale societies, like the one he spent time studying in New Guinea, have better child-rearing methods, we do know that, quote, hunter-gatherer rearing practices that seem so foreign to us aren't disastrous, and they don't produce societies of obvious sociopaths, end quote. As one example, pediatricians in the United States warn the child sleeping with its parents may be in danger of being crushed, right? This is the awfulness of co-sleeping. But as Diamond says, these fears seem significantly overblown if, as the evidence would seem to suggest, most children through most of human history have slept with their mothers and fathers without the species smothering itself out of existence. Well said, Jared. Similarly, parents in many small-scale societies generally pick up infants as soon as they start crying, and they never strike or spank their children. The kids so raised are not spoiled. On the contrary, from the evidence, they seem, if anything, less selfish and more socially adept than their peers in the industrialized world. Great, now it's the New Guinean parenting books I need to be reading. I just eBayed all my French parenting books away so I could afford the Chinese ones. Thanks for nothing, The Atlantic. I know these days we're all thinking, hey, who's keeping us safe? And I want you to know, it's a San Francisco school. I saw this on NBC's Today Show. You can also check out pieces of it over on MSNBC.com if you'd like. A 17-year-old high school student out San Fran way, has been indefinitely suspended by her school after she wrote a poem in her personal notebook, which includes the lines, "I understand the killings in Connecticut. I understand why he pulled the trigger." A teacher at San Francisco's Life Learning Academy found this notebook and reported the poem to the principal, who suspended the student. And the school district is now deciding whether or not the student can return to the small vocational school. Now, I don't know. I don't necessarily have much insight into the killings in Connecticut or what the rationale of a killer might be. But I'm pretty sure that under the First Amendment, you have the ability to write about these things without the fear of reprisal. I think. I mean, I'm not a constitutional expert, I want to say that. It might be the 32nd Amendment. But I'm pretty sure that that type of speech is protected by that constitution of ours. Now, might want to question this student. You maybe want to find out what's going through their head, see if you can offer a little bit of empathy, perhaps, to see what it is that they're going through that might make them want to write those lines. Certainly, after watching the piece on the Today Show, I'd like to extend some help to her as it relates to picking out hoop earrings in the future. But I think as it relates to the ability of school administrators to prohibit and even punish this type of speech, well, I'm pretty sure you're entirely in the wrong there, Life Learning Academy of San Francisco. Shouldn't you be all crazy, like liberal progressive-minded out there anyway? Come on, get with it. NYU professor and contributor to The New Yorker, Gary Marcus, wants dads to learn a new skill. He wants each of us to learn a new skill. But we should pick which one. He's not going to tell us which skill to learn. He's out to kill a widespread view and even wrote a book about it called Guitar Zero. The critical period effect, says Marcus, is the idea that you can't do certain things, like learn a language or learn an instrument, unless you start early in life. It's a discouraging thought for anyone past adolescence, but recently, the evidence for this idea had started to unwind. Here's an example right from the piece that Marcus offers up. Barn owls have, for years, been a model illustration of critical periods. Young barn owls could readily adapt to a kind of virtual reality experiment in which a prism distorted their perception of the world. Older owls could not adapt, or so textbooks would seem to say. But Brian Knudsen, a neuroscientist at Stanford, kept probing and found that there was, in fact, a simple way of teaching old owls new tricks, by breaking up a difficult job into small, bite-sized pieces. Old owls couldn't learn as fast as the young owls, but they could come a long way if they took things incrementally. I'd like to point out that this means at least one, if not two, separate sets of tests were conducted fooling owls using a virtual reality experiment and a reality-distorting prism. Learning a new skill can also have unexpected benefits, says Gary Marcus. Recently, the neuroscientist Nina Kraus published a pile of new studies that show that learning about music can facilitate getting better at other things, like language skills and hearing in noisy places, and can do so in ways that last for decades. Her first studies were with children. Other studies, now in progress, want to see if the same will hold true for lessons taken by adults. Music training can help the brain better decompose the elements of sound in ways that Krauss was able to directly measure in the laboratory, and it seems to improve working memory, too. And in another recent study, a team of Canadian researchers found evidence that a mere 20 days of music lessons can lead to better scores on a test of verbal intelligence. Well, if you want to know more about this, the full piece, Happy New Year, Pick Up a New Skill, awaits you in its entirety over at newyorker.com. You can read the whole thing there. It was a very interesting article. And if you are learning a new skill for 2013, Dob Bobbers, I'd like to hear about it. Unless it involves cheese. Tell me about your newly developed skill, won't you please? I'm on Twitter, at TheDaddyOnBoard. I'd love to hear your story, and I guess about 140 characters or so, over there. All right, well, I got to hurry it up and get the heck out of here. But before I go, I wanted to let you know you can catch me over at Wrestling Is Respect. I'm going to be wrestling in Boonton, New Jersey. That's on January 27th. Come and see me there. I'm also, as mentioned, going to be participating in National Pro Wrestling Day on February 2nd. Come and see me take on Colt Cabana at the Derby Inc. Gardens in Philadelphia. That event free to attend. Then come see me as Chikara kicks off its epic 12th season. That's in Reading, Pennsylvania, and Easton, Pennsylvania as well, the weekend of February 9th and 10th. Wherever Chikara goes, you know I will be there. That includes our upcoming tour in the month of March of the state of Florida. So come out and see me there. Look forward to meeting you live and in person wherever I go. Of course, if you can't see me live, well, you can hear me recorded over at the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, which comes out in the midweek. Clayton Morris joins me all the time over on that program. It's the mothership here at grizzlyproductions.tv. And I have a tendency as well to turn up on The Trending Show, except when my travel schedule prohibits. I'm over there with Natalie Morris. It publishes every Sunday with the top trending topics in Google searches and on Twitter. Those are all the places I'm going to be. As promised, I have a little victory for you. This one sent in to me by star of The Adventures of Superman, Scott Reeves from Hollywood, Maryland, who wrote this to me on Twitter. He said, I took my son to the library for story time. He sang, participated, and sat still for the stories. And that is a hashtag little victory. Well done there, Scott. And thank you for sending that in to me. You can send me your little victories, not just on Twitter, at TheDaddyOnBoard is the best way to go about doing that, but you can stick them on our Facebook fan page, you can stick them on our Google Plus page. Someone will go through, collect them, and deliver them to me in time for next week, when I'm likely to sit in front of this microphone once again and record for you a podcast almost certain to be titled Daddy on Board 119. Until then, my friends, adios.